Now more than ever, teams must come together and work together to solve big challenges. And Trello is here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, is an app with an easy-to-understand visual format plus tons of features that make working with your team functional and fun. With Trello, you can work with your team wherever you are, whether it's at home or in an office. Keep your workflow going from wherever you are with Trello. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com.
Something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Team audio at TNTRadioEmpire.com. Dr. Ian K. Smith and also Hippie Man, our comedian buddy John Novacek, a little later on. Dr. Ian's going to talk about not gaining a bunch of weight while you're sitting on your ass at home. That's pretty much what he talks about all the time.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then we always fight with him about why can't we drink, you know? He says, no, you can't drink. This doctor drinks, right?
I hope so.
She's probably drinking more now.
Dr. Mina joins us.
I haven't.
Yeah, go ahead.
I haven't had a drink since mid-January.
Oh, because you're on call, right?
Damn.
All the time.
Man,
yep.
That's brutal. That's brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Let me tell you, the only thing I want to do is drink heavily. To quote Animal House, my recommendation to you would be to start drinking heavily.
Now, normally, obviously before the pandemic, and obviously it was January, you guys were on it right away. At least you guys were on it. The government was. Do you get time when you're not on call that you can have a drink? I've seen you drunk on your photos.
Not recently, though.
Not recently.
Yeah. Not for a while.
Yeah.
In my regular job back in the day, I can't even remember that time anymore.
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay.
You would know when you were on call. You would know when you weren't on call, and you could plan accordingly.
Got it.
But I do also want to say, for the record, to the caller who wrote in after I called last week, I am thrilled to be your educated moron. And very, very happy to, And to all of the people on Twitter who keep trying to rag on me because you guys have Doc Ed and Dr. Ian Smith on.
No, Dr. Ian Smith. He's our weight doctor. We talked to him for years.
All right, he's just going to tell us how to eat and we can't drink.
I know, but people are needling me on Twitter all the time, and I just want to say, just for the record, I have more degrees than both of them combined.
Yeah.
Also, I am a goddamn epidemiologist, my friend. Pandemics are my wheelhouse, bitches.
Yeah, but the ones from Yale don't count.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Are you taking a lot of crap on Twitter because you're telling people things they don't necessarily want to hear?
That's exactly
right. I just read a piece about there's going to be a backlash to public health officials then that they overreacted.
Yeah. From idiots.
Right, because they did the right thing.
From idiots. Right.
Oh, you know, we do this all. This happens all the time. Public health officials will be accused of overreacting, and we're happy about that because if we are accused of overreacting, that means people didn't die.
Right.
That meant we did our job.
Right. I saw that very quote.
I'm happy to take that.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm happy to take it.
Doc, what I love about you, Doc, is that what I've noticed about you over the years is that we all fall into the category, us lay people, of just seeing numbers. Well, it wasn't my grandmother, it wasn't my cousin, it wasn't my friend. You see people every day die in your regular practice, and you know that numbers are not just numbers. And that's what I hate the most about this pandemic, when people say, oh, it's just so many people die. I said, so many people died. Like 800
that's
New York
lot.
Last night overnight. I'm thinking 800 people. Yeah. That's like a whole room. That's a whole like bar just dead.
Town in Nebraska.
Right,
that's a small town in Kansas. Everybody.
And you guys care about every death. You know, people care about numbers.
Yeah, every death, we take it very personally, every death. But just remember, every single death, at the end of the day, and then I'll get into non-COVID use, and then we'll get back to COVID news.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it'll be less than 2 degrees of separation between every person and somebody who's died.
I'll let you talk. I saw a stat on that last night. They had a doctor on something, some evening show, and he was saying that it's statistically proven that one death causes 20 people around that person to suffer in all kinds of ways, mental health, I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
One person, just one person, 20 people right around
them. And remember,
are screwed up.
It's not just going to be people who died who were coronavirus positive. There are also going to be people who were sick who needed to get to a hospital and couldn't get the care that they were probably could have gotten because we're overrun with this pandemic.
Yeah, we're thinking our buddy Vic Henley.
We're thinking of Vic Henley.
Yeah, right. May have gone into a doctor and had his heart condition or his pulmonary embolism checked out, but no, hospitals are a little too busy, so he decided he would back off.
Now we're speculating. We don't know.
Or patients who are too scared to go in and say, you know, I'll watch this one more day. And really, otherwise, they would have gone in. So there's going to be a lot of, unfortunately, collateral damage. We're seeing that already. And I hate to, we hate to see that. There is nothing we hate as physicians more than not being able to do our job and do it well. And we're being kneecapped in every way. But let's start with non-COVID news.
Got it.
And then we'll get to some of the COVID stuff. So please, first of all, folks, I realize many of you are bored. I realize there are multiple orifices in your body. But please, do not insert frozen potatoes into your rectum for your hemorrhoids. And don't do it, even as Mike said, if they are crinkled for your pleasure. Please.
when we did that story.
I did say that.
Craig reported.
I'll stand by that.
Wow. Right. Craig mentioned that it just doesn't work. Is it dangerous to stick a potato in your butt?
It can absolutely be dangerous. Hemorrhoids are an irritating condition. They are swollen veins in the lower part of your rectum or your anus. They can cause itching, pain, and bleeding. The idea is something cold will constrict blood vessels and reduce the swelling. There's absolutely no proven benefit, though, to that theory. There's no medical evidence that putting frozen potatoes into your anus will cure hemorrhoids. So there are other remedies for hemorrhoids, but another of them, please, sweet Jesus, do not use leeches on your hemorrhoids.
That was Josh Wolf, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
No, leeches are used for very few conditions, usually like in microsurgery to salvage tissue flaps. They have an anticoagulant in the saliva of the leech, but the leech is also associated with a risk of infection, and there have been reports of people getting meningitis, bacteremia, and sepsis, so they should be used in a controlled medical setting. You should not share them between patients. They even shouldn't be used repetitively on the same patient, the same leech, and oftentimes patients need antibiotics, and if you don't follow those rules, you may be like the young man that the surgeon saw who went to a non-doctor in a non-hospital setting and got leeches applied to his hemorrhoids and ended up with a huge anal abscess. There is nothing sexier than having to have tons of people come take pictures of the big swollen lump on your butt. That, my friend,
do you pop it? Do you pop it?
You don't, it's surgery. You have to go in and put a drain in and drain out the pus from that abscess. It's sexy, baby. It's real sexy. I will post a link to a journal article. You can see pictures. I'm sure that man is so happy that is his claim to fame now.
All right. I had some other butt news earlier today. I don't know if you heard it.
Oh, no. I haven't caught up.
You got that in front of you, Craig?
I put it in front of me, but now I've forgotten it.
And apparently, no
Craig
two
is the most organized person I know.
Anuses, or is it ani, are alike.
Ani.
Oh, that's
probably
right.
Probably not.
Anal print.
Yeah,
anal print. Print. Yeah, there's an anal print, like a fingerprint.
Is that such a thing?
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
I had no idea.
They're making new turlets, and in order to personalize the smart toilet, they allow it to scan a person's anal print so they know who it is.
Yeah.
They say fingerprint.
Oh my God, we're going to have to do multiple flushes here.
Just like a fingerprint, every anal print is unique.
You wouldn't know that anyway. You see them
Are you familiar with this?
I see a ton of them and they all blend in together. I mean, there are a couple that stand out in my head, but I got to tell you.
Yeah, but you can say that about fingerprints as well.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You probably don't notice things on a very micro level. And so it might be possible. I have to look into this a little bit. Yeah.
Give us an example of one outstanding anus that you remember.
It's the really, really hairy ones. The ones with the long balls. Good God. I'm just so tired of long balls.
When did you see Todd's ass?
I love sometimes the interesting little tattoo messages that, you know, you get around that area.
Oh, How you doing?
Bunch of arrows.
This one, not that one. This one. So there was another question about, can you live without a spleen? I don't remember the exact story, but there was a man with like the largest spleen
and it had to get removed. Right.
And so, yes, you can absolutely live without your spleen. Your spleen falls somewhere between your colon and one kidney in terms of organs that I feel probably can be safely removed. So what does a spleen do? It actually filters out old, damaged blood cells. It prevents infection by producing new white blood cells, and it stores your red blood cells in your platelets. So when you remove your spleen, you're going to impair the function of all of those things. But the one that we worry about the most, the one that when people do get their spleens removed, the one we worry about the most is life-threatening infections, that production of the white blood cells. So when somebody has to have their spleen removed, and for people who aren't aware, if you go under just below your left rib cage is where your spleen is located. So people get splenic injuries from crushes, like if the ribs get broken and it cuts open your spleen, or if they've get cancer or certain infectious diseases, the spleen can get really big and they need to have it removed.
The famous story we always, all of us know that in rock and roll and stuff, to know the business a little bit, is Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses years ago in the late 80s. His spleen exploded because of vodka. Can alcohol?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, how much booze to kill your spleen?
Yeah, was it just overworked?
Well, you have to. Yeah. Probably it's because of concomitant liver disease.
Got
and
it.
Then, yes, you can have it. And that's really...
Yeah, it exploded. He almost died. It did explode. He almost died. Yeah.
Yes, because it stores a lot of your blood. So people can really... If that gets a splenic laceration or a contusion or something to the spleen, it can kill people. Yeah. But if you have had your spleen removed, we just really recommend you get vaccines against pneumonia, the flu, meningococcal.
Vaccines,
the
infections. Vaccines, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I cannot wait until
the
flu season.
I've been seeing, what are anti-vaxxers going to do? Somebody said, if you're still an anti-vaxxer after all this, you know, I can't remember the line, but it was just so brutal against these people.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Is a COVID, is a COVID vaccine on the fast track? Or are we still
absolutely
a good year away?
Yes. No. There are multiple trials for human vaccines for the coronavirus 19 at multiple locations. They've already gone through, started their phase 1 trials, but there is a process to doing this, and there's a real reason. We do not just throw vaccines out there. We make sure they are safe. We make sure that they are effective, and that requires a lot of different trials, but they are being fast-tracked. It's still going to be probably, we are saying about a year. I'm cautiously optimistic it'll be a little bit less than a year, but it's not going to be fast enough for what is going on right now. But yes, people are working on this. Even here at Penn, people are working on this
Staying with the COVID, I saw that the Philly, D.C., Baltimore is the next hot spot. You're in Philadelphia
now.
What's happening?
We're bracing for it.
Okay.
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay, go ahead.
Twice a day, we get emails with projections. We have cleared out our hospitals. We've rearranged them. Everybody is on new services. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's like constant adrenaline. We know, and we're actually deploying out to Princeton because New Jersey is already in the middle of their surge. So people are going out there to help out. But just back to a little bit more non-COVID news.
So
Craig, let me tell you a little something about Craig's positivity.
Yes.
Because he is such a positive guy.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Craig's positivity, man.
During this most recent bout of cancer he had, you know, I get these uplifting and life-affirming messages or conversations with him, such as, quote, "Are you trying to kill me?" Or, quote, "I'm going to die and you're going to do it."
Whoa.
Or, quote, "God damn it, woman, I told you that even though I can't taste, I can taste the foods I don't like and I don't want to eat them." Or my favorite line I would get about once a week, quote, "Why are you talking to puss about me?"
Yeah, good point. That's breaking HIPAA laws.
It is.
Yeah.
No.
So I'm still positive.
I love the "God damn it, woman." I love that.
She encourages that on actually.
She likes that.
And,
of course she does.
Oh yes. I mean, he's so kind and positive with his medical staff that we all feel the love and this rainbow positivity, just emanating from his body.
Yep.
I also like I'd like to point out that, you know, he will get alcohol awareness on the first day of the month, but Women's Health, Women's Month is recognized on the last day of March. And, by the way, he completely skipped over National Doctors Day.
Oh, man.
So thank you very much.
Craig.
Uh-huh.
I thought we mentioned that the next day.
I don't think we did.
No, you didn't. Not at all. No, you know, you and our president both didn't.
Yeah,
the president
doesn't care.
The very next day, the president accused us of stealing things from the hospital.
That's right.
So that was
a lovely
National Doctors
Day. You doctors are bad people.
And so then there was a question of why does one drool when you sleep?
Todd woke up with a wet pillow. Right?
Yeah, I occasionally drool when I sleep.
Well, not always.
Yeah.
So everybody produces about a liter of saliva a day. That is produced by your salivary glands. You usually swallow it and it recirculates. A liter. It is a lot. Yeah, it's amazing. And so the drooling occurs when you're not swallowing it normally and it sort of drips or runs out of your lips. So why can this happen? Well, it can happen, for example, if you're sleeping and you start to sleep a lot more with your mouth open. That can happen if people have very bad allergies. We have a terrible allergy season right now.
Yeah,
people's
we do.
Noses are all congested. And if you have sleep apnea or something like that, and then some medications will cause you to produce more than a normal amount of saliva, and that might be the cause of why you're drooling. But it's not a bad thing unless you think one of these other things are going on, in which case you can try and solve one of these other things, you know, decrease your allergies, maybe talk to a doctor about sleep apnea, or investigate if somebody, if it's a new thing and you've started a new medication, maybe it's a medication that's causing this.
Right.
And then finally, Mike.
Oh, no. I was going to be nice to you, but no, Mike, go ahead.
He's trying to help you. Your wives can park wherever they damn well want, and you should never say, I quote, we get to park in the garage because we men are out working. Because any man...
I did say that. I admit I said that.
Any man who spent a full day at home with your children knows your wives are working 10 times harder than you are
now
at work.
My kids are 17 and 15. They're in their rooms. she ain't doing dick right now. She's not... Well, I know she's sleeping, so that won't get back.
I was going to say, you better hope she's not listening either.
She's not awake now because she ain't working.
It will get back. I have her number. It will get back.
It's a trying time that challenges all of our basic assumptions. However, one thing that brings us all together is our common humanity. Now more than ever, teams must come together and work together to solve big challenges. And Trello is here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, is an app with an easy-to-understand visual format plus tons of features that make working with your team functional and just plain fun. Teams of all shapes and sizes and companies like Google, Fender, and even Costco all use Trello to collaborate and get work done. With Trello, you can work with your team wherever you are, whether it's at home or in an office. No matter what device you're using, computer, tablet, or phone, Trello syncs across all of them, so you can stay up to date on all the things your team cares about. Keep your workflow going from wherever you are with Trello. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com. Trello.com.
All right. So let's get back to our coronavirus update. So as of this morning at 7 a.m., there are 432,438 positive cases in the United States. 14,808 deaths. Yes.
Where do you get the information? Because I go to the one that you referred me to, the Johns Hopkins site. But I see other coronavirus counts, and the numbers differ. So you would think there would be a uniform.
No. Well, you would think there would be if the federal government were actually collecting and reporting these out uniformly, but they're not. And so,
it's not their job, man. It's not my job.
Nope.
Not my fault.
It's
not my job. My fault.
Apparently, it's not. Right. You know, numbers matter very little to the current administration. Right. So the way the numbers get out is that Department of Health reports these out to most locations. If you're in an academic or a hospital setting, you automatically will report a positive case to your Department of Health, at least here in Pennsylvania. But private companies like LabCorp, Quest, those private labs, they usually report out in bulk. And they might wait till the end of the week. They might wait until Monday. And so the numbers can vary from time to time. Hopkins gets theirs from a variety of sources. So I usually try to stay with one source and do it consistently, because they're all going to get to about the same number. It just depends on where they're getting them and what kind of lag time you have for those positive
cases. Is it true, though, with the since they everybody's not been tested, they think the cases are more like 1 million across the country?
Oh, right? God, Lord, yes. Yeah. They're going to be a lot more. And the deaths are going to be a lot more because, again, a lot of people couldn't get testing. So if you die during this time period and you were not COVID tested, you don't count. And so that numerator is going to be a lot lower because a lot of people can't get tests. This does mean, though, that we have a case fatality rate from COVID currently of 3.5%. To put that in perspective, the flu kills 0.1% of all people. This is a very significant death rate. And yes, there are still 8 states that do not have shelter-in-place laws, which means folks are still meeting up and going out and spreading the virus. And ironically, many of these states also refuse to expand Medicaid. So we've got that going for us.
Nebraska and in Iowa, both
right.
They're not doing
that. Uh-huh. Yep. Now, some places are doing a little bit better at identifying and quarantining patients than others. So Nebraska is the 4th lowest state in terms of testing. But it's also relative. So I know you guys had Doc Ed on, and Texas is 6 times larger than Pennsylvania, but has done the same number of tests as Pennsylvania. So we are way ahead of them. I don't know why they're so far behind. I've heard, though, a lot of people from Nebraska reach out to me and say testing is not widely available, and that when it is available, it takes days. Again, this is because we have no federal government helping coordinate this. So in Pennsylvania, we currently have a test that takes less than 45 minutes. We use in all of our hospitals, and we have a 24-hour test that we're doing to the public in tents that are affiliated with all of our hospitals.
Cool.
But the bottom line is we lack a coordinated national response, and this is going to cost lives.
Ain't my
and
fault.
Physicians across
Ain't
the country. Job. Yep.
Yeah.
I bear no responsibility for this, is what we hear people. But you know, if you. Physicians are afraid, even physicians in Nebraska are afraid, and if we are afraid, I hate to say it, you should be too, folks. Nebraska, you have an 11 to 20% increase in the number of positive cases every single day this month.
Hey, but the golf courses are open. That's cool, you know.
And that's going to help those numbers,
yeah,
you know.
Of course it will. Yeah.
Blow off some steam.
Yeah.
So to answer some of the questions I've received, can I go outside and exercise? Yes. Okay. In fact, please do. We need this for our mental health.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that you are, you know, maintaining social distancing, so you're going out with your family unit or your household unit, but you're not going out to interact with other people.
Sometimes I just go out with my unit.
You said unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that unit with you. Yeah, you know, it needs to get out there, too.
Yeah,
can you get food delivered? Is that safe? Yes. And I think, as Luke pointed out, we have found no evidence that COVID is transmitted through food.
So lucky. So lucky.
Yeah. But tigers.
But,
we watch out for tigers. Because one of the Bronx Zoo had the COVID-19.
Right.
Well, and I am so glad that they had a test for a tiger, but there are people who are dying who can't get tested. That
I thought that was weird, too.
I understand it's a different
Seriously.
Test.
Yeah. Yeah, put a swab up a tiger's nose, see what happens to you, right?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. But remember that this virus can live on cardboard or plastic for about a day or two. So, you know, you bring your groceries, you bring in your food, you move it to your refrigerator or whatever, but then throw out the plastic bags, throw out the bags they're in, and then wash your hands with soap and water at least 20 seconds. And during all of this, don't touch your face. That's the safe way to do this.
I have a box of small, like putting green pins, and they've been sitting in my driveway for about 5
You're
days
fine.
Now, and I should
totally
be able,
fine.
The virus will not live on a golf pin for 5 days?
No,
okay.
No, you'll be fine.
All right.
There was a garbage man who had asked about, should he be worried? He's seeing a lot of cough drops in the garbage. And first of all, I just want to say to all of the delivery men, the grocery store people, the garbage men, thank you so much. You guys are doing above and beyond the amount of work right now. And,
you don't need more money because get a real job. That's a starter job.
Yes.
That was a year ago. But
we'll talk about that. But, please make sure, if you are a food delivery, if you are one of the rideshare people, if you are a grocery clerk, if you are hauling garbage, to do all the things we're telling everyone else to do. You're going to want to wash your hands. You are not going to want to touch your face. And there was one question somebody had asked me, that they have to go into people's houses to do repairs. So per the CDC, in a standard room, whatever that is, we think of it in our hospital as a standard hospital room, 99.9% of the virus is removed from the air if we have a COVID patient that's in there in 28 minutes. So we allow a room to sit for 60 minutes before our janitorial staff will go in and clean it. So that just gives you a sense of
if somebody's fixing something in your house and they're in there and they're done, they leave, stay out of that room for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And you should stay out of the room for an hour before they go in, just to sort of try and make this a little bit safer for
people.
Protect them,
got it. All right, okay. All right. That's really positive. That's interesting to know. I didn't know that. That's good.
Allergies are hitting us. Yeah. If you're going to get runny noses, that doesn't necessarily mean you have COVID, but it's really hard not to rub your eyes and rub your nose. Please be very cognizant of doing
about
this.
It, for Christ's sakes, man. We all want to scratch our faces now.
Yeah, can I wipe my nose with a disinfectant wipe?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, you can. It might sting, but yes, you can try.
Oh, my nose is tough.
You're huffing Clorox now?
Yeah,
you should.
No, I got the allergies. So
I got allergies too.
Yeah. My nose runs all the time, so I can't stop touching it.
Cocaine.
Please don't hand sanitize your junk, no matter how many times you plan on slapping the microphone with it, Todd.
We're only doing that if we ever broadcast from the house. Right now, we're keeping our wieners in. You know.
It will burn. It will hurt. You will regret it.
Yeah, maybe you'll like it.
I hope. Hopefully, I don't need to say this. I think it's been through the news a lot, but this whole chloroquine, there are lots of clinical trials out there, but so far nothing has been shown, no trials have shown that this actually works.
Hey, my buddy's got money in that, and I got some money in
that. Right, that buddy gives me a lot of money.
Yeah, right, there you go.
Yeah, there was a Swedish trial that was stopped prematurely because it showed zero efficacy, and there are side effects, real side effects to this, to your heart, to your eyes. Please, folks, until we get good science here, and trust me, none of us wanted to work more than doctors and scientists, please don't do that. And then there's the question a lot of people have been asking about wearing these masks and why are they telling us to wear the masks in public now? So the main benefit of this universal masking is to prevent droplets from an infected person from getting into the environment and infecting someone else. So this is not to protect you from everyone around you, but to protect them from you.
Yeah.
Because we know that so many people can carry this virus and not have symptoms, and we're trying to decrease the spread as much as we possibly can in every way we possibly can. If you do have to go to a public place, a grocery store, a drugstore, something like that, we're asking everyone to wear a mask. You do not have to wear an N95 mask. These are really precious, folks. Yeah. We need them in the hospital. This is only when you are generating aerosol and you're very close to a person who has COVID. So if you're putting a tube into their lungs, if you're giving them a nebulized medication, if you're like us and we're putting a tube into their esophagus to take a look at their stomach, anything where you're going to be close to the mouth for, you know, a prolonged amount of time, and they're going to be aerosolizing the air around you, that's when you need an N95 mask. Mm. Otherwise, these surgical masks will be fine. And then finally, there have been, you asked about, you know, do I get a lot of backlash on Twitter? A lot of people have been questioning if Nebraska needs to have statewide shelter in place. Your governor has said Nebraska is different than other places.
Oh, we're better,
That's right. Sorry.
We're surrounded by the good life.
Yeah, the good life.
And that should ward everything off.
It'll repel the virus.
Well, still 4 and 8.
Exactly. Viruses, you know, okay, totally get that. So let me illustrate to you why you want to do this. And this is hard for me a little bit. So my husband is an infectious disease doctor.
What's he know?
What does he know? And as you can guess,
he's got a buddy. He's got a buddy, man. It's the flu, man. Go ahead.
Sorry. They're getting stretched pretty thin here at Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. In fact, they have two teams now just to deal with all the inpatient COVID patients here at the main hospital. We have about 280 patients who are COVID positive and over 100 who are ventilated. So last week they sent out an email asking for volunteers to cover starting on Monday because they just are stretched so thin. He showed me the email. It took us less than 30 seconds. For me to say, you got to volunteer. You've got to do this. But now let me run you through what has been going on for the last week. So we cleaned out our basement bedroom and bathroom, made sure the locks were working so the kids couldn't get in them. Yes, that did mean clearing out the GIMP from our basement. We packed a suitcase for her.
All right. She does have a GIMP, a freak. I love that you're a freak.
We packed a suitcase as if he was moving out for 2 weeks. We walked a path for when he gets through the garage to the bedroom, ensuring he can't touch any walls or any furniture. Made sure he has three pairs of scrubs, walk through a daily schedule where at the end of the day, he'll change into from scrubs number one to scrub number two before he gets in the car. In the garage, he will take off scrub number two, go straight to a shower. I have to wash both of those scrubs, put a dinner tray outside his bedroom, and then in the morning, I have to clean up all the dishes, put him on a sanitizing setting, and then leave clean scrubs outside the door for him to repeat this all over again. We made sure the paperwork, naming each other as his power of attorney and decision makers, were in order. We made sure our will was in order. Our hospital now has a notary on site to provide free services for people to get their wills and property transfers notarized. And then we had to make sure we had all of our financial paperwork in order. That's when we realized we actually make more money if I die first. So he's really motivated to stay alive now until I go on service. And so, but the hardest part of all of this was telling our kids.
Oh, yeah.
That their father was going to be working in a hospital helping people with the virus and that they could not touch him or be in the same room with him for 2 weeks. So my four-year-old got mad because she doesn't get to hug her dad goodnight, but my eight-year-old actually got up and left the room, and when I went after him, I realized he was trying not to cry.
Oh, my God.
Because he's old enough now to know that this virus kills people.
Right.
And so we had a long talk, and I told him I'm going to need him to be a man and help me out and help me take care of him and his father, and he gets it. But even yesterday,
he's still eight.
Oh yeah, at dinner he said, "I wish you didn't have to go to the hospital on Monday." You know, we healthcare workers, we shouldn't have to beg the government for gloves and masks and gowns, and we shouldn't have to beg for ventilators, and we shouldn't have to ration and beg for medications, but we are. But we're also begging everyone to please stay at home. And it's because it helps our families. And this is not a coast or a big city thing. And people who say that, you're wrong. This
they're
is
idiots.
Going to hit,
yeah.
They're going to hit the rural places the hardest.
Yep.
Because those people haven't been practicing appropriate social distancing.
We got to golf, man.
And there's not enough of equipment and doctors to take care of people. So please, you know, I know we're going to get through this. There's tons of clinical trials. Penn has 18 clinical trials going on right now to deal with this. I'm one of them. My colleagues have been analyzing data about how to do this and publishing this so other hospitals can look at this. But we're begging you for our families. And I'm asking folks, I've tried to help as many people as I can over the years without ever asking for anything in return. But I'm asking people now, please adhere to the stay at home, not for me, but for the doctors who are in your state.
Thank
and
you,
for
Doc.
Their families. So hey, that they don't have to go through this.
Right. The sooner we get through this, the sooner Doc can get back on her sex sling.
Yeah. Who swabs the gimp, by the way? Who swabs the gimp?
That we had to let the gimp go. It's really sad.
Another unemployed gimp.
Yeah. Back into the wild. It's rough on everybody.
Thank you, Doc. We gotta go.
Love you, Doc.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.